You're listening to agentdrivendevelopment.com.
While our kids played on the playground last Saturday, my neighbor Bill, not his real name, but the company is one you have heard of, told me a story I have not been able to stop thinking about. Bill manages a software team at a public company, 14 engineers. He has been there 9 years. He is the kind of engineering manager who still reads pull requests on the weekend, not because anyone asks him to, but because he cannot help it. His daughter is the same age as mine. They were on the slide. He was on his second coffee. The story, stripped to its bones, goes like this. Bill's $20,000 a month engineers spent $500 in tokens. They shipped a record amount of work. The company's official position is that this is a bad thing and that it must be stopped. 2 months ago, somebody in his company's IT procurement org made a mistake. A new enterprise contract with one of the major model vendors went into effect on a Monday. The per-seat rate limits never got applied for 5 business days. 300 engineers had effectively unlimited token access. No throttle, no daily cap. Bill's team noticed by Tuesday afternoon. By Wednesday morning, the 4 most senior engineers had slacked each other and agreed not to file a ticket. What happened over the next 4 days is the thing Bill is going to remember when he is old. His team shipped more production-grade code than they had in the previous 6 months. A 2023 vintage backlog item, rewritten and deployed. A flaky test suite fix. A deprecated SDK migration. The team had quoted at 2 quarters of effort, done in 3 days, with tests, with docs, with a runbook. And the quietest engineer on the team shipped a change that had been blocked for 14 months on cross-team coordination because the agent let her draft, validate, and walk the diff across 4 service repos in a single afternoon. Bill said the energy on the floor was something he had not felt since he was a junior engineer in the early 2010s, when shipping software still felt like the point of the job rather than the residue of it. On Friday afternoon, somebody in finance ran the variance report. The bill was $42,000 against a budgeted line of $4,000. By Monday, the rate limits were on, retroactive caps were issued, and the CIO sent an all-hands email about responsible AI usage and approved budget envelopes. The CIO is a process guy. He has not written code in 19 years and does not need to. His job is the org chart, not the code base. He looked at the variance report, did not open a single pull request from the week, and forwarded the report to his VP of transformation with a one-line note. We need to start measuring stories and tokens. A meeting was scheduled to scope a new AI velocity governance workstream with a steering committee, an intake process, and a dashboard. Bill was not invited. The week cost $38,000 over budget. The week produced by Bill's accounting 4 to 6 months of normal team output. Bill did the math out loud while pushing his daughter on the swing. Even on the most cynical view, even if half had to be redone, the company traded 6 months of 14 engineers' time, roughly $2.5 million of loaded labor, for $38,000 in tokens, and then they shut it off. He pushed the swing again. Nobody is hiding it. The CIO knows. Procurement knows. They know what we shipped, what it cost, what they got. And the answer is still no. Same fight, different decade. Chris taught me how to win one of these fights. It was 2016. He had been fighting for 16 gigabytes of RAM instead of 8 for 2 quarters. The justification deck took 2 weeks. The benchmark, comparing 8 gigabytes to 16 on the build that mattered, took longer to compile than the build itself. Every signature he chased routed him to another signature, so Chris stopped asking. He named the campaign instead. He called it 8 is not enough. He put it in his email signature. His teammates started wearing the sticker. The phrase started showing up in architecture reviews. He was not even running. Nobody argued back. The company quietly moved to the new floor at the next refresh cycle and pretended it had always been the plan. Chris never got a yes or an apology, he just got the RAM. Because once the frame is named publicly, the no starts to look like what it is. That is the move. Bill does not yet know it is the move, because Bill is still on the asking politely side of the no. 3 years ago, James told me his team could not clone both of their projects to their disks because procurement had given them 256 gigabyte SSDs. They were rotating which project was on disk by week. They were senior engineers. They were 10 years past the point where any of this should have been a conversation. Same fight, different decade. How many of you are listening to this on a corporate-issued laptop that still has only 16 gigabytes of RAM, only a 256 gigabyte SSD, and a procurement function that thinks asking for either is the problem? The reason this fight keeps coming back is that nobody at the table is measured on a macro business outcome. Finance is measured on variance to plan. Procurement is measured on contracts. Security is measured on incidents. Engineering is measured on delivery against the backlog somebody else owns. None of those scorecards roll up to whether the company accomplished the outcome that justified the planning cycle in the first place. So we argue at the proxy layer. We debate story points because we cannot debate whether the points produce revenue. We debate RAM, SSDs, and tokens because we cannot debate whether any of them shifted market position. The proxy changes. The fight does not. The fix is the only real fix, and nobody enjoys hearing it. Map the value stream to a business outcome and measure everybody against the outcome. The cost of tools debate ends because the outcome makes the math obvious. That is the only thing that breaks software's Groundhog Day. Procurement is measured on contracts consolidated and unbudgeted SaaS sprawl prevented. The $38,000 overage is, in their world, the exact thing procurement exists to stop. They are doing their job correctly. The job is the wrong shape. Security is measured on incidents and audit findings, not on tools blocked. The CISO does not get a bonus for refusing the higher seat tier. What the CISO has not been given is a fast lane to say yes with controls, so the default answer is the slow one. Finance is measured on variance to plan and on the internal SLA for review turnaround. Bill's request, when he files it, will be one of nine similar requests this quarter from peer managers who all read the same internal memo about the unlimited week. Finance cannot tell from a deck which of the nine is real. Approving requires due diligence. Denying does not. Denying is how finance hits its SLA on time. The calendar wins three functions, three scorecards, three rational notice who is not in the room. The CTO, who is supposed to be shipping faster than the smaller competitor. The CFO, whose quarterly earnings track engineering throughput. The CHRO, who is about to absorb the retention hit. The CEO, who put AI-driven productivity in the last earnings call as a 2026 priority. All four of them are downstream of the no. They will see the throughput shortfall in Q3 and ask why velocity is flat. The answer they will be given will not be the real one. Now the math. A senior engineer on Bill's team costs roughly $28,000 a month. Fully loaded, that is the $20,000 cash compensation plus benefits. RSUs, payroll tax, the laptop, the on-call stipend, 14 of them, about $390,000 a month before a single line of code ships. Bill is asking for $500 per engineer per month. That is $7,000 a month for the team, or $84,000 annualized. The defensible claim on the steady state work the team picks up after the backlog has been cleared is a 25 to 40% productivity lift on the slice of an engineer's time that is actually shipping new code. That is annualizable, and that is what the $84,000 buys. The lift is also not evenly distributed across the team, which changes the procurement decision more than most leaders realize. Then there's the second order effect, which finance does not have a column for senior engineers in this band, cost $250,000 to $400,000 to replace all in. Baseline attrition runs 8 to 15%. On 14 people, Bill loses one or two seniors a year regardless. The denial does not change the rate. It changes the mix. The ones who leave are the ones with the most options. Those are the $400,000 ones. The math does not work even on the procurement scorecard. Now here's where the story gets uncomfortable. Bill is not worried about shadow IT. He is worried about the moonlighting policy. Bill's team is disciplined about the work versus personal line. They keep their personal accounts off company hardware because they do not want to get fired. What Bill is worried about is what they are using the personal tools for. He has been asked about the company's moonlighting policy more this quarter than in any quarter of the last 9 years, by six different engineers, none of whom coordinated. Each of them is building something in the evenings on the same class of AI, tooling the company will not buy them. None has asked Bill for permission. They have asked Bill very precisely what would constitute a violation. Bill himself is one of them. The RTX 5090 he is shopping for has nothing to do with work. It is for the side project he has been quietly thinking about for a year, and which he can finally make real if he stops needing permission. He is the engineering manager, and he is not going to file a moonlighting question, because filing one would tell HR he is preparing to leave. He is going to buy the GPU and start building. The risk the company was trying to avoid by saying no to the enterprise contract was a data risk. The risk the company actually has is a talent risk, and it is compounding every weekend on the same tooling stack the company will not buy. Six engineers asking lawyer questions about the moonlighting policy in one quarter is a signal that six engineers are looking at their personal compounding curve and noticing the curve is steeper outside the company than inside it. The denial did not eliminate the data risk. It moved the conversation to a column nobody is watching. Here's the question Bill did not ask. Why does your $28,000 a month engineer not deserve $500 a month in tools? Is it because $500 a month feels like a lot of money in a budget meeting and $28,000 a month does not? Because the $28,000 sits on a different line item that is treated as fixed? Is it because the procurement function was built in 2008 to negotiate against vendors who priced predictably, and that function has not been redesigned for an era where the cost of a tool is rounding error compared to the cost of not having it? Or is it the simplest answer, the organization has not metabolized the fact that the labor model changed and the gap between the engineer with the right tools and the engineer without them widens every quarter from here? Here's what I told Bill on Monday. Do not resubmit the same request. Resubmission is how the no becomes a habit. Get a named CTO sponsor for the line item before the next planning cycle. Sponsored line items survive review. Relitigated line items do not if the CTO will not sponsor it. That is also information. Bring finance the receipt from the unlimited week. Your company has in its own usage logs the most expensive A/B test it will ever run. The control group is every other week of the year. The treatment group is 5 days. The result is in the variance report finance already wrote. Use it. If that fails, write the memo to the CTO that says you did what you could within the constraints, that the consequence is going to show up in Q3, and that you wanted it on the record. That is what doing the job looks like when the system will not yield. I keep coming back to the swing. Bill pushing his daughter, telling me about the quietest engineer on his team, finally being allowed to ship something she had been carrying in her head for over a year. The thing he was describing was not a productivity gain, it was a permission. For 5 days, his team had been allowed to be as good as they actually are. Then the permission was revoked, and Bill went home and started shopping for a basement GPU. What would your team do with 5 business days of unlimited access? If you do not know, your engineers do, and they have not told you, and they have stopped asking you about the budget. They are asking your HR partner about the moonlighting policy instead. This is Norman from Agent Driven Development.
You've been listening to agentdrivendevelopment.com.